Rapid, KSEV.
The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We are happy you can join in with us today. And before we get started, I just want to remind you that just because you hear a tax strategy or two here today on the show or elsewhere on websites, etc., whether we're involved or not, I would always suggest that you check with your existing advisors, so that we can make sure you understood what you thought you heard, and most importantly, that it actually applies to your current facts and circumstances, which are unique to you. And for those of you that don't have advisors you can turn to that understand real estate taxation, real estate private partnership, activities and taxation, and using your retirement funds to invest in private partnership syndications, multifamily specifically, and or other classes of commercial assets. We prefer the multifamily market due to its historical success for most folks we work with, especially those using their retirement funds. And then lastly, we will help you get to a zero tax rate in retirement. And if we can't get you down to zero, we'll get you as close as we can. But it's likely, and don't know for certain until we have a chance to review your data, but most people, given time, can rearrange their income streams to fall into the categories that can avoid or significantly minimize the tax that might be due. So anyway, if that fits your current areas of interest, feel free to go to our website and fill out, and that would be BeAPlanner.com or BeAPlannerShow.com. Either one of those will get you to a page that has a intake forms link, and right next to that link will be a call schedule link. And if you'll fill out the step one form one on that site and then schedule a call, I'll be happy to spend some time with you to review your data submission and let you know how or if we might be able to sync up with your goals and objectives. Well, a lot has changed since we last communicated this past Sunday, and changed in our country and in the world. I would suggest in the world of real estate investing, it's going to be, I think, an exciting time to be in commercial real estate, specifically multifamily, and you know, having some of the potential problems that had been posited as tax strategies or tax rules, tax laws, etc., that all relate to those tax strategies. Boy, I tell you, it could have been a serious period of upheaval when it comes to what we're used to now, had the opposite party won the election, that I think we'll avoid with Mr. Trump. I think there's something about real estate investing that He will continue to make attractive from a tax standpoint. I'll also suggest to you that probably 80% of Congress, both sides of the aisle, let out a sigh of relief because they're the ones that would face the onslaught at assorted town hall type venues they might be involved in their district as they try to sell some of the unbelievably unwise, is what I'm going to term them, tax strategies. And I know, you know, if you look at the unrealized capital gains tax proposal that Ms. Harris was floating, I understand that in the near term, that would only apply to companies that had gross revenues of $100 million or more, which, by the way, that's not a big company anymore. And, you know, you can look at some of the syndicators that are putting these real estate partnerships together, and many of those would qualify. And that directly impacts you as a partner in several ways. But I would suggest that you let the government have that foothold, if you will. Once they've dipped their toe into the unrealized capital gain pool, they'll be jumping in, you know, full dive not long thereafter. I mean, they'll come up with reasons, and we got some great reasons to raise taxes, but their reason never seems to include paying down the debt. You know, they want to raise more taxes so we can afford more green, quote unquote, technology, a lot of which doesn't help net to protect our environment. You know, you look at even electric vehicles, and you look at all the lithium that has to be mined and some of the child labor that goes into that. And, you know, all of a sudden, the cost, put quotes around that, of green becomes not just tangibly high, but intangibly high. And it's like, well, why'd we do this again? And I don't know, but I'm thankful that we'll have a new paradigm, perhaps with the tax code. I know that it takes more than an executive action to extend the Trump 2017 provisions that are sunsetting or expiring basically a year from now, 112026. And hopefully the better parts of those provisions will stay around. Maybe the bonus depreciation will come back in its full 100% mode, and among other things. So a lot to be determined as of yet. And, you know, one thing that occurs to me, and we talk about this math routinely on the show, is Elon Musk's comment that he's going to find ways to reduce the annual deficit. It's currently $2.1 trillion approximately. That's the projected deficits for the next 10 years. If you look at the 2024 10-year forecast by the Congressional Budget Office, you'll see that on average, we're going to have a $2.1 trillion deficit. Let's look at that in the real sense of the gross tax collections, the tax receipts that we bring in as a country. It's roughly $5 trillion. We got some rounding going on there, but in any event, what's a few billion dollars amongst friends, right? But so $5 trillion is coming into the government's coffers, $7 trillion approximately, again, I guess 7.1, if you want to sync up with CBO's analysis. And so there's your $2.1 trillion deficit. Well, I heard Musk recently say he thought he could cut the deficit buy the two. Well, he said he wants to balance the budget. I shouldn't put words in his mouth. He said, you know, that we should be able to balance our budget. And so do the math. That means he's got to chop $2.1 trillion off of the annual expenditures. And I know you're going to hear a lot of howling going on out of the halls of Congress and out of the Pentagon and out of the Social Security and Medicare folks. There's no question. It all depends on, as the old expression goes, whose ox is getting gored as to how long and where the howling comes from. And I go back to a comment that one of my guests here at our boutique hotels in San Antonio said once, corporate housing, boutique hotels is what we do. And he was in town for a project with a Department of Defense contractor. We get a lot of those in San Antonio, and he was staying with us for, I don't know, he was here 2 or 3 years. And he was telling me once, he was currently working on his company's annual budget and their funding request of DOD, Defense Department. And in talking with him, he made the comment that, you know, if we don't raise our budget request by 30% each year, we won't even get the current year amount that they provided us. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, here's a contractor who's likely not even a rounding error on the government's P&L or balance sheet. I guess both, probably. And if that's how they have to do it, think about how the big agencies and big contracts, the military complex, think about how they have to manipulate their numbers. And I got to thinking, so you're saying you got to raise it by 30%. Well, let's just play a magician here for a minute. What you're telling me is that little 30% bump every year, which may or may not be necessary, I'm willing to bet you in most cases it's not. When you look at some facets of the government expenditure that maybe you know a little thing about. Like, for instance, I think most of you know, or many of you know, that I live overseas most of the time. Happen to be here in San Antonio right now. Be here through the end of the year if anybody wants to meet with me, either Houston office or here in San Antonio. And, you know, I know the school, or I know of the school in Bangkok that all the U.S. Embassy offspring get to go to. $40,000 a year is the annual tuition, whether you're first grade or senior in high school, for the, quote, American school system. And it's insanity. And I know, because I have a teen, my son's 15, and I know that it doesn't cost anywhere near, it's like everything else we do as Americans, whether it's health care, whether it's the plainest bar. You know, there isn't one in Bangkok, I don't think. Oh, it'll get there. Trust me. They want to be America in many fronts, including the new tax law that they're putting in place now. And next year, it's going to become more like the U.S. than even this year's, where they will start taxing their citizenry or their tax residence folks, which if you stay in Thailand more than 179 days in any given year, you're a tax resident. And they're going to start taxing such folks on their worldwide income. Think about that. So the Thai will be like America. You know, each year it's a further nudge towards Americanism, unfortunately on some fronts, fortunately on others. But I can just tell you that the cost, bringing this back to the budget, the costs are dramatically expanded in our model of funding government. And I don't doubt for a minute. I said it back in 2016 when Trump was elected. Leading up to that, I remember we were talking about the government waste. And my comment was President Trump could cut 30%. I didn't even know about the $5 trillion and $7.1 trillion differential at that point. May not have been that much. In fact, it wasn't that much at that point, but it was a lot. And he could cut 30% off our annual expenditure in his sleep. And you and I would never know it. We would never miss it. And the people that would miss it are the ones that we need to, I don't know, push towards an early retirement, maybe, towards a severance package. I believe Elon Musk's plan is to give, as he starts cutting at the federal level, is to give those folks that he needs to nudge out a 2-year severance. My, that's pretty generous. And I mean, I would hope those people are so talented at the current rates they get paid and the current benefit packages they have. I would think they should be able to find work pretty quickly. You know, if you've got the years of experience that many of those folks have, I would hope that they wouldn't need those severances. But that's apparently the plan. At least, Musk is on the outside looking in. Maybe he'll change his mind after doing, maybe he'll do some performance reviews first to, one, assess the value instead of just a blanket 2-year severance approach. But in any event, I know there's government waste. I see it every day. I know there's also areas where I don't know for certain, but I do tend to believe that agencies like IRS, at least until late, I'm not sure if the 87,000 new agent hiring has gotten them to where they need to be. I doubt seriously they've been able to execute much of that, if any of it, where it matters, meaning, quality folks that have a knowledge base that anywhere near gets to the levels needed. And I also know there's been a lot of retirements take place of people that have a deep knowledge base from, many years. So I don't know. There has to be a leveling up of value. You know, what are we paying as a taxpayer and what are we getting? And who best to drive that effort than folks like Donald Trump? And apparently Elon Musk is going to have a big role in that. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll take our first break. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were just talking briefly about the effects on our tax system that I think the election may have just given us a little bit of a downhill push. We ought to be able to continue with some of the Trump 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act provisions that would otherwise expire. Hopefully, with having the majority in the Senate, and looks like it's going to be tight, but it looks like the Republicans will also have the majority in the House. Not that that means much in terms of corralling all the Republicans to be on the same sheet of music, I guess you might say. It seems like it's harder, harder to control them, to encourage them to vote with the crowd as opposed to being the renegades that they tend to be. But I would say the future looks bright. It looks a lot better than if you don't control both the House and the Senate. But in any event, it's I tell you, it seems like the temperature has gone way down from what we were worried about potentially with a Harris administration. But I want to remind people that, you know, on this show, we don't render legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If you need that advice, as I mentioned at the outset, please engage with your existing advisors. If you don't have advisors, okay, then we might talk with you if you can complete one of our intake forms that you can find on our BAPlanner.com website or BAPlannerShow.com. Either website gets you to the same forms page. And in any event, it's important to understand that we don't know anything about you unless you're already a client. And for us to consult with you or talk to you, theoretically, to comply with the ethics rules that the IRS mandates for us, as well as our own Texas State Board of Public Accountancy, we need to have some sort of relationship through exchange of information to be able to talk in any level of specificity. But anyway, further, we do not sell investments. We don't recommend or promote specific investments, syndicators, sponsors, or lead partners. But what we try to do is assist you with understanding what you're signing up for, quote unquote, regarding any commercial real estate activities or opportunities that you might be considering. We'll show you how to evaluate sponsors, the opportunities, private placement offerings, entity structure, how do you plan on holding the assets that you invest in, so that you can select projects which help you, or at least lay the groundwork, providing the highest odds possible of a favorable outcome, because there's a lot of places that things can come off the track, even if it's a great opportunity and a great investment. You know, the structure you have on your end can dramatically affect the net that you get, if you will, because of the tax variable that may or may not apply. And as an example, one of the strategies we use is the investing your retirement money, whether it's 401k or IRA money, into these private syndicated partnerships. And in doing so, we have ways of either avoiding or managing the level of tax that might be assessed. And when you say, well, you know, gee, I've got an IRA, surely that's not taxed. Or you say, well, I've got a Roth IRA, I know there's no tax on that. Well, no, wrong on both counts. As an IRA, you'll be subject to the unrelated debt financed income tax. That would be UDFI, is the acronym, which falls under the UBIT, unrelated business income tax umbrella, that applies to tax exempt organizations, be that an IRA, it's technically a tax exempt trust, or the 401 is also part of a trust provision. However, the 401, also known as a solo K, that would be the marketing term, the solo dash K or the 401k self-directed trust is exempt from UDFI tax. It's built right into the code. And so, you know, if you look at I believe it's code section 812 to 814 is where the UDFI or the UBIT and the UDFI are discussed. And you'll notice that generally IRAs, the section 412 or 812, I believe it is. Let me look real quick and just make sure. I haven't needed to go to bed early in a while, so I try not to be reading tax codes at that time. Let's see. Maybe it's 412. I was thinking that sounded a little bit odd when I was saying it. Well, I tell you what, on the next break, I'll confirm that number. Maybe it is 812 that gets into the UBIT and the UDFI. But I will tell you, even though it's only five or six pages, maybe it's some good early to sleep type quote medicine, end quote, if you will. And you know, it will put you to sleep pretty quickly. But in any event, we don't need to go to sleep early. We need to know, how do we get out of paying this UDFI tax? Because I'm sorry, I was wrong on both accounts. It's 514. So IRS code section 512 starts the discussion and generally indicates that you are exempt from tax if you're investing with your IRA, unless there's debt involved. Well, if you're buying real estate without some level of debt or leverage, as we say, you're probably not maximizing your returns. And, you know, I know folks that buy properties with cash. I know folks that have had leverage or debt up to the 95% level, or in fact, I've seen properties financed 100%, but we're talking in a normal scenario. I remember back in 2009 or 10 time frame, maybe 2008 even, there were properties, multifamily properties. I remember seeing portfolio of five or six properties that were 94% leveraged all in, which is a little bit scary. I mean, it's a two-edged sword. If the values go up even just a little bit, you're a hero with all your partners. If they go down even just a little bit, you're out of business. You're underwater. And when you've got maybe a 3 or 5 year refinance mandate on that money, meaning the lender loaned it to you at those unbelievable levels of leverage, but it was like a temporary type loan where you needed to refinance in 3 years, just like we're going through right now. The distress that we have right now in the commercial real estate market, and specifically the multifamily market, is in part due to the interest rate increase. I'm not going to say entirely due to interest rates, because you could throw property taxes and insurance into that conundrum as well. I mean, the cost of insurance has skyrocketed, taxes have gone way up, and it's just a triple whammy when you look at the impact on cash flow and indeed even the ability to service debt. I mean, it's caused a lot of good syndicators to have problems, and it's probably picked up a few criminals as well, using that term loosely. But I tell you what, the debt structure, as a 2 years ago, I guess, is when most of the 3 year bridge loans occurred. But if you don't know to consider the debt structure, when you, if you're the one that does your own due diligence, I tell you what, debt structure would be near, if not at the top of the list. I mean, net operating income is the item, the NOI is the item that gets the biggest focus. But I would tell you the debt structure should be right there, because that impacts the NOI. You know, if you don't understand that, you need to get some training. And speaking of, we are targeting a training session multi-day. Would probably go from Thursday late to maybe Monday midday here in San Antonio, and we're going to deal with the upcoming tax issues, and then at a high level assorted other real estate concepts, you know, how to analyze, again, at a high level, transactions, and know what you're signing up for, essentially. And we'll do it here in San Antonio. We'll include lodging at our properties in that tuition. And if you're interested in that, I've got a number, same number you heard on the break, 713-581-0195, that you can either text or you can call it and leave a voicemail, and we'll add you to the list. And we haven't decided how big of a crowd to allow. It's not going to be huge because the venue that I am likely going to use would limit us somewhat. So don't delay. Let me know if you're interested. But this will be done before I head back to Thailand. So I will be involved as a speaker. I'll also have at least an attorney or two involved. And we'll probably likely have some local real estate brokers that, you know, will talk about opportunities here in San Antonio. So it'll be the first event that the Be a Planner Academy will provide. And we anticipate doing this on an ongoing basis, at least quarterly, maybe monthly at some point. We'll see what kind of reaction we get. But understand This is more of a staycation. It won't be a all-day, everyday education type event. You'll have some free time to explore all that San Antonio has to offer. And, you know, there's a lot here that I know I've been here mainly here for at least, I don't know, 10 of the last 15 years. And the other time I've been mainly in Bangkok. And, but I'll tell you something that I've noticed, because I can see the differences perhaps a bit easier than those of you that live here in the U.S. San Antonio has become my favorite city. And I'm not saying there's nothing to like about Houston or Dallas or Austin. I'm just telling you, once you're here for a while, you realize there's a lot of normal, I'm going to say, normal people here, people that will help you. You know, when you ask a question, I know, you know, you can be in a grocery store and ask where something is, and it's not just a, oh, it's, I think it's aisle 32. No, they go get it, or they take you to be right in front of the item. Or I remember I was struggling, very frustrated with the options for getting my eye injections. And for those of you that haven't had friends or haven't had to undergo those yourself, I'll tell you, in some parts of the world, it's like having a small pipe stuck into your eyeball. It's incredibly painful. And those of you that know me know that I've mentioned, I suggest the military, the U.S. military, use eye injections instead of waterboarding. It's that painful. I will promise you, any suspect or prisoner will give up whatever you're trying to get out of them very quickly if they see the needle coming that's going to go in to their eye. But anyway, what I was referring to earlier about somebody being willing to help you, I stopped off at an eye center that Incarnate Word University operates here on the east side. And I just literally called in from the parking lot to see if they still, or if they did eye injections. And they told me that no, they didn't, because the COVID period cut their volume too much to sustain the overhead. But the lady said, why don't you come on in and I'll see if I can find some of the names that we refer people to. Well, she did better than that. She got on the phone and called and had me an appointment. And this was after I'd explained the pain thing and how I am a big baby when it comes to pain, much less needles coming into my eyeballs. And I like the doctor I have in Bangkok, but I may never see him again unless he'll agree to use the same pain protocol that the doctor here in San Antonio is using. And I'm telling you, I've had two shots now, you know, a month apart roughly from this guy. And it's like, I have to ask you, I've had to ask him both times, did you do the shot? I saw a needle, never felt it. And it's just remarkable, my change in attitude, my physical changes, my blood pressure no longer shoots up 20 points when I'm driving to the hospital to get those shots. And it's crazy. So anyway, you know, people here, it's palpable how different they are. And all I can suggest is, you know, I still like a lot of things about Houston, but boy, when you've got what we have here in San Antonio, you just realize it's not the same everywhere. And I can say the same thing about the folks in Thailand, specifically Bangkok. You know, people are people. That's true. But there's still people in some parts of our society and our world that will actually help you. And boy, is it a wonderful thing the older I get. But if you want nothing more than a staycation, consider the seminar and consider, you know, enjoying a few days and just a remarkable change of pace from Houston. And it's only 3 hours away. That's if you stop at Bucky's. You'll still get here in 3 hours. And who doesn't stop at Bucky's, right? If you got a female in your car, I don't care if it's your daughter, your aunt, your mom, your sister, your grandmother, you're stopping. Those clean restrooms will make you stop. You'll have to stop. And in any event, 3 hours and 3 to 4 days is all it'll take. And you'll feel refreshed and you can relax a little more with the tax rules. And you might even consider doing some tax planning at that point, or maybe changing your income streams into real estate based cash flows where we can better manage the tax impact. And even if you, let's say, instead of going to zero each year, you get down into the teens because of the way we time or seek to time your real estate gains and losses, primarily losses from the new investments that we'll still be able to write off significant amounts of with continuing the Trump tax acts. Hey, let's take our last break. We'll come back for a few minutes and continue with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more giving and love along the way. You better get to know.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and daydreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and daydreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we are about 10 minutes away from the end, so we don't have much time here. But I wanted to mention to you, for those of you that, in spite of Mr. Trump being president, we still have a problem with the deficit and the cumulative debt, whether you think of cumulative as just the current amount that we admit to, which is in the $35 trillion range. And while I'm talking, I'm going to pull up the usdebtclock.org, and I'll give you a few updates on that. But now that interest expense has leapt into the third spot on the biggest components of the national debt. By the way, that current number, we are almost, I mean, it just seems like yesterday. When was it? May or June that we crossed the 30 from 34,999,999. I don't know if that's the correct number of nines. Anyway, we moved from 34 to 35. And now, as of this moment, we're at 35,981, almost $982 billion. That's crazy how fast that happens. And the interest on the debt, for the first time with the fiscal year that ended September 30th, 2024, crossed the $1 trillion mark. It's now in third place on the list of the top four components. It was number four. It crossed. It passed up defense. Boy, if you step back a few years, who would have thunk that we would have ever been ahead of the defense spending? The U.S. has a fairly robust defense budget in spite of all the cuts it took during the Obama years. And I suggest if you look at what's going on around the world, you don't necessarily have to be a neocon to figure out that we should be spending more on defense, or maybe on drones, maybe not bombs, or maybe the kind of bombs that fit on drones. Hopefully those are less expensive than the bigger ones. But in any event, there's a lot going on in the world that unfortunately the current administration seemingly has exposed us to, that would seem like, you know, cooler heads could have prevailed. And obviously we're not even directly the combatants. In fact, according to Ms. Harris, not even 2 months ago, she made the statement that there were no active military in combat anywhere in the world. Well, that was news to the ones that were helping the Israelis and helping the Ukrainians. And of course, you know, Ukraine shouldn't even count, really, because we're fighting with our hands, collective hands, Ukrainians as well as the whatever Americans that aren't in combat, but boy, they're involved. You know, we're fighting with one hand tied behind our back. And, you know, the U.S. under Biden has never really given full-throated support and sanctions against Russia. I mean, Putin's wealth has gone through the roof since we, quote, sanctioned certain oil sales. We didn't sanction all of it, and other countries are buying it. Other countries have made him even wealthier. And, you know, I made the comment, if you go back to our episodes back during the very start of that war when we announced sanctions, I said, you watch, the American citizenry is going to get hurt worse by those sanctions than the Russians. And you say, well, gee, how can you say that, Nathan? You're not a military expert. You don't understand how these sanctions work. And I said, you know, I'm not, but I'm a realist, and I travel, and I live in another country. And what we Americans tend to forget or never knew, if you've never been outside the U.S. or you haven't had the benefit of friends that live in other countries, we are the most materialistic country in the world. We obsess on all the wrong things. We don't obsess on having reliable transportation. No, we obsess on the brand of the car or truck or the color, the shape, the model. Or if it's food, we don't obsess on having enough to eat of anything or low-end foodstuffs. No, we obsess on, again, the chef involved, the type of beef or the type of chicken. We've got all these sub categories that we obsess on, and we don't focus as much on survival in all facets of life. And so I could tell you right off the bat, when I saw those sanctions, those people, they're like, you know, my wife in Thailand. I always have made the comment that, in rebuttal to one of her aspersions she cast at times, that, look, I know you can rub two sticks together and cook dinner. I know that. I appreciate that. I'm very fortunate I have a wife like that. And I'm being a little facetious, maybe not two sticks, but bottom line, she doesn't need the electricity to be on, and she can still get cooking done. And, you know, I know every time our electricity is planned to go out, it rarely goes out unplanned, but let's say a truck runs into the light pole out on the front of our subdivision that's got transformers on it or whatever. I'm not an electrician. And maybe it's going to be down for an hour or two. Planned at that point. They already have had the electric company on site. Happens almost instantly. And I'm taking a shower at that point with two-liter bottles of water. I've got it down to that, because our pump will be out at that point. So I can take a shower, 2-liter bottles of water, get in the car, go to the nearest mall or Starbucks. We've only got 160 Starbucks in the city of Bangkok. You know, you just thought you're getting out of America. And, you know, I don't know how many McDonald's, probably almost as many, and probably almost as many Burger Kings and, you know, Lazy Boy gallery shops and Tony Rama ribs. I think they're still there. Maybe not. They weren't that good there. But bottom line is, you know, Apple stores, you've got all the infrastructure that we have in America, and it's normally cheaper. It's not if it's U.S. branded merchandise, but as an example, our internet connection at 600 MIPS ups, or 600 down, 600 up, cost us, I think, maybe $16 or $17 a month. It's insanely cheap. And in any event, the way the world operates, it's so much different than the way we do in America. And I hate to say it, but we are sitting ducks for any of those militaries that, you know, are from countries where they don't worry about LGBTQ or QT, I guess it is, or DEI. That's not their focus. Their focus is in killing or defending against their enemies, and sometimes even those that aren't their enemies. So we need to get back to the basics. It looks like this election may have been a start in that right, in that correct direction. And hopefully we don't abridge anybody's rights. You know, that's not the point. The point is, you know, you can want all the rights, you know, without getting into all the details, the women's rights, the gays' rights, everybody's rights except us, you know, white males. But you can't, you know, do you think Russia's going to give you rights like that? Do you think any other enemy? It's like, you better worry about the bigger picture. Let's get that right, and then we can determine how to keep your rights pristine and available. But in any event, okay, well, we're at the end of the show. We will return this Sunday with our cyber show. I hope we have cyber this Sunday if Mr. AI Wynn is available. And we look forward to having you tune in right here on AM 700. KSEB.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.